Hello, and welcome to the Life Care Services Health Services Division podcast series. Today we have Leslie Welch from Therapy Management Corporation, or TMC, one of the preferred providers for rehab for Life Care Services. So welcome, Leslie.
Thanks, Meredith. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. We're really looking forward to today's podcast. So can you give us a little introduction to yourself, a little bit about your background, how long you've been working with Life Care Services as a TMC employee?
Okay, yes. I started with TMC as a therapist. I'm a certified occupational therapy assistant. I served in a variety of different roles. I was a rehab director and also a treating therapist, and then moved into the auditing world, into compliance. I've been with TMC for about 16 years and have had the privilege of working with LCS communities for the past 7 years in more of a regulatory and compliance type role.
Thank you. We really enjoy working with you, Leslie. You provide a host of information as it relates to appeals and denials and quality assurance for Life Care Services. So we're very excited to have you here today to talk to us a little bit about getting to know our MACs. And we hear the word MAC a lot. And so our AITs, our administrators in trainings, or our new administrators don't think that that's food. Can you tell us exactly what that word means and what their function is as it relates to our industry? Like, why are they so important to us?
Yes. Well, at first, CMS has an acronym for everything, or industry has an acronym for almost everything. And that's definitely true when it comes to the MACs. That's kind of the acronym that we refer to the Medicare Administrative Contractors. And really, just to kind of start with, you know, how does CMS define a Medicare Administrative Contractor, or a MAC? It's really a private healthcare insurer that's been awarded a geographical jurisdiction to process Part A and Part B claims, or they can process durable medical equipment claims for the Medicare fee-for-service program.
So basically, they're essential to us being able to bill our Medicare claims.
Yes, CMS relies on a network of MACs, and they serve as really the primary operational contact between the Medicare fee-for-service program and the healthcare providers, you know, enrolled in the program. So yes, they pretty much, I mean, their primary role is to protect the Medicare funds, to process claims. There's quite a lot of different responsibilities that the MACs have. Again, they're multi-state, they're regional, they're responsible for any Part A claims and Part B claims, which is what most of most of you guys are dealing with. But, you know, some of the things that they're responsible for, and this will help you kind of get a better understanding of how you can resource your MAC and what role they play, is they process all the claims. They process the Medicare fee-for-service claims. They enroll providers, so you have to deal with them in that capacity. Also, they handle all the provider reimbursement services, and they can audit institutional provider cost reports. They handle the first level of appeals, which is extremely important, and then they respond to any provider inquiries that you may have. They also serve as a role as an educator, so they're responsible for issuing educational updates, bulletins on the, you know, the Medicare fee-for-service billing requirements. Also, they put out local coverage determinations on what they feel is appropriate for billing guidelines, and then they review medical records. And so not only do they do all those things, they're also responsible for coordinating with CMS and any other fee-for-service contractors.
Great. So what exactly is a local coverage determination? I know we get that question quite a lot from administrators.
Yes, a local coverage determination, because when you look at CMS has a variety of regulations and criteria that they post as far as, let's take medical necessity for example, they'll publish what they consider medically necessary when it comes to services from therapy or nursing or any of those components. And then those Medicare administrative contractors will take those policies. While they still have to keep those policies in mind, they will look at the guidelines, interpret them the way that what they think it means, and they'll issue a policy on it. So it's local to that geographical region. I know there's a lot for therapy, for example. They'll take the Part B rules, and they'll issue their own local coverage determination as far as how they interpret it. And then it's important as providers that we look at that, how they interpret the rules, and abide by their understanding to get our claims processed and paid.
So I think that's a really important point, because you've got the Medicare regulation, but you've actually got these individual MACs that can develop their own policies or LCDs, local coverage determinations, based on their interpretation of that regulation. So it would be important for our communities to really understand those LCDs, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because, I mean, we deal with a variety of different MACs, and they, like I said before, they change by geographical location. So you may have, Alabama may deal with Cahaba. You may have First Coast that deals with Florida. And then they may interpret a Medicare regulation completely different and may have different parameters on billing requirements and things like that. So it's super important to understand that, how they interpret the rules so that you can get your claims processed by that MAC.
So I think that's a really important point to hit on for our listeners. So how does therapy or TMC specifically assist communities in those local coverage determinations? What do you all do as background work to ensure that when the communities are billing these MACs for our Medicare claims, that therapy is on the ball with the LCD?
Yes, one of the things that we do, due to the variety of different MACs that we're in, we have a diverse denial department that actually, one of the things that we're continuously looking at the MACs and looking at the policies that they put out. We belong to the listservs. They spend, once a month they're assigned a certain MAC that they're supposed to research on a proactive basis so that we can, kind of not be reactive to a policy change, but know about it ahead of time. And then anytime there's any type of change from a billing standpoint, like let's say, for example, there's a local coverage determination that has put a billing parameter in place where they require this certain ICD-9 code to bill a certain CPT code. Well, we can program that into our billing software to make sure that we're compliant from a billing standpoint to prevent you from even getting a denial. So we spend a lot of time on the forefront programming it into our internal software to make sure that even prevents a denial from even happening if they have an edit or something in the system.
Yeah, I think that's such an underestimated advantage of having these knowledgeable therapy companies such as TMC be our partners, because that's a very important piece of what we need to do as a provider. And you all are actively or proactively assisting us with that behind the scenes. So I think that's really important. How many MACs are there nationally?
Well, there's currently 12 AD MACs that process your Part A and Part B claims, and then you have 4 DME MACs that process the claims. And, they process quite a significant amount of claims each year, just to kind of give you some perspective. Collectively, the MACs process more than 1.2 billion Medicare fee-for-service claims annually. And so if you look at that divided up, that's 210 million Part A claims, and they process a billion Part B claims. And so essentially this past year is $367 billion in Medicare benefits that these MACs are all processing for the Medicare program. So that's a lot that's going on there.
It really is. So is there an easy way, let's say for our community, maybe we have a new administrator that's relocated. Oftentimes we have administrators and executive directors that travel either for the company or get relocated to a different state or region. What's the easiest way to find out who their MAC is? I mean, is there a website? Where would we go? Is it just Medicare.gov? How do we find that information out?
Yes, there is. To find out who your MAC is, there is. CMS actually has done a pretty good job of keeping this very organized on their website. You can go to the cms.gov website /Medicare/, and you'll continue to search through the Medicare contracting and then Medicare administrative contractors / who are the MACs. And so there's a, just if you type in MACs on the CMS website or Medicare administrative contractor, then it'll take you to that list of MACs. And it's very easy to use. You can click on your state, and then it'll also list, any local, it'll take you right to that, give you the resources that you need to get to that actual contractor's website.
Awesome. So we talked a little bit about what MACs do. What do you think are the most important roles that they play for our business?
Well, the three most important roles that MACs play is that they are a resource. They also have a role in the appeals process, and it's important that we understand what that role is. and then they have a role as an enforcer.
Great. So we know that MACs play a really large role in our first level of appeal, and that's really important. But I think they also play a role in eliminating fraud and abuse in another way, and that is they have the ability to turn providers into a ZPIC contractor who's looking for fraud and abuse, correct? Is that an accurate reflection of a role that a MAC can play?
Right, absolutely. As an enforcer, you know, MACs are obviously meant to serve as a resource for Medicare providers, but they also play the role of the rule enforcer, especially when it comes to the medical review audit. You know, they're involved in the audit process, especially with probe audits. The MAC can come in and open your books to look at a prepay review of a claim that targets either a particular service or a particular specialty. You know, essentially, if you meet certain criteria, those auditors can come in, they can pull a sample of any claims that you've already submitted, or it could be a prepay or it could be a postpay review, and they really want to check for accuracy prior to payment. Because you think about it, they're trying to protect those Medicare dollars. And if they see something during this probe or the information that they've requested from you, then they can if the audit goes poorly, they will, if they suspect any negligence or fraud, then they can refer that case to the appropriate agency for any further investigation.
Very
so, yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah. So when it comes to their role in audits and denials, do you have any tips for our listeners on how they can better avoid denials, very specific to therapy?
Yes. And it may seem simple, but to make sure all the data is correct, verify that all the data pertaining to the service is right, that you have the correct modifiers on there, because that often, you know, if you're missing a modifier 59 or some common therapy modifiers, the KX modifier, then it can result in a technical denial. And we definitely don't want a technical denial, because that's kind of low-hanging fruit for a Medicare contractor. You don't even really get the chance to... it comes straight through as a denial. And so those are things that can be denied, things that can be prevented. Also being familiar with local coverage determinations, again, if they have any billing edits that are specific to therapy, if those aren't, allowed for ahead of time, then that can kick a claim out. One of the things that's really important is to comply with requests for supporting documents. And so not only does the MAC serve a role in reviewing medical records if they deny a claim, they also can send you an additional development request where they're requesting additional records from you because they're not quite sure if they want to pay that claim yet, so they request extra records, say, hey, let's take a look and make sure that, you know, we agree with everything before we pay it. So failure to recognize that automatically, you know, results in a denial for missing records.
If I listen to some of the most important tips that you all have, I feel like they all relate back to a policy that LifeCare Services has, and that's ensuring that we do a monthly triple check. I feel like a lot of the tips that you're giving to avoid denials could be solved by doing a thorough and accurate triple check. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yes, absolutely. Agree. You know, the cleaner the claim is, I mean, because ultimately the claim needs to go through as clean as possible with the appropriate modifiers, diagnosis. And one of the common claims that or speech codes often, you know, get denied, or there could be a missing diagnosis to go with a certain code and things like that. So being proactive and making sure that everything is lined up from each discipline before it gets submitted is really key to prevent those denials from happening in the first place.
Right. So hopefully if we're doing those sorts of processes, we won't actually get to a denial stage from an ADR or an additional developmental request. But if we do, when we are responding to a request for more information or when we actually get denied and we're going through the appeal process, what are the biggest pitfalls, in your opinion, for providers to avoid in order to get that claim paid?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, the biggest one is not recognizing the request for records. And I know this may seem simple, but even knowing what your MAC logo looks like, so that if you see something come snail mail, that whoever is checking the mail, that they're familiar with it. Okay, this came from Cahaba, this is Meridian, this is, you know, I need to open this claim. Because it's, especially if they request an ADR, the additional development request. The turnaround time for that is very quick. I mean, you've got about 30 days to submit those records into the MAC. And if you fail to do that, then you get a denial for, improper, or that you timed out the claim, basically no records. And so that's the first one, is just recognizing the request for the records, making sure you have a system in place to routinely check the denial activity, either both electronically or paper mail. So that'll help prevent the claim from timing out. Mm-hmm. And then, just being aware of the contractor deadlines. Like I mentioned, the ADR is the tightest turnaround time. And, we have found through, submitting, significant amounts of claims that even though the MAC may give you a certain time frame on your letter, like, for example, the ADR letter, it may tell you you have 45 days. But if that Medicare contractor does not get that claim from you in 30 days, they will send you a letter on day 31 saying that the ADR was not received, and they'll go ahead and issue a denial for not receiving documentation.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
But, I will tell you one thing. We have they'll issue the letter, and we've had some successes with some MACs of getting it overturned, saying, okay, well, you gave us 45 days. So we have been able to get it overturned, and then some were not able to. So that's also an interesting tidbit, too.
So is that something that you would potentially discover from staying on top of, the rules and regulation changes that are within a certain MAC, or is that just something that just happens to be fly by night and you just find this out by actually being in the process?
Yeah, we're usually find it out by being in the process. It's not published anywhere. It's more from best practice and things that we've noticed. And so that as we really make a concerted effort to make sure that we're communicating with our communities and getting the sooner we get the notice, you can start working on the notice, the sooner the appeal can start being put together and being processed and all of that. So hopefully it doesn't get that to the end, to that 30-day time frame. Because it makes it a very tight turnaround. So the sooner you're aware of a denial, the more time you have to go ahead and start getting your records ready and getting the claims processed.
Yeah. So now that we know exactly what a MAC is and what their function is, how we can find out who we work with specifically in our region of the country and what their local coverage determinations are, how we work with therapy to determine what those are, and what the biggest takeaways are from an ADR and denial standpoint. In your experience, what's the biggest takeaway for our listeners to remember when it comes to MACs?
Well, my biggest takeaway for providers to remember is to really be proactive. Take a proactive approach to getting your billing practices in order. This will help you better ensure that you're complying with the Medicare rules and regulations. And this will help, keep you from having to deal with any potential legal complications. And remember that your MAC is the primary point of contact for ensuring accuracy and the receipt of processing and paying your Medicare claim. So, don't be shy about contacting your MAC. Establish those relationships with them. They're there to serve you with any questions regarding the processes.
Great. And what LifeCare Services is doing, every year we try to improve some of our processes as it relates to ADRs and denials. And although it doesn't appear currently to be a huge bucket of indemnification or improper payments as it relates to our company, we are working with our partners like TMC to track the denial and ADRs annually and what that cost is or potential cost is and what that indemnification rate is by community. And then we're cross-referencing that information against our QA audit scores. And we really are using that information to not only enhance our QA processes and really focus on, I think, the critical pieces of documentation or claims that are causing the denials, but we want to ensure better overall collaboration with our partners in really looking at these specific MACs and what their rules and regulations are to see if we can identify trends. Obviously, identifying trends helps us and helps you improve your processes. So our partnership with you in this effort is really invaluable. And I really want to thank you for your time today. Your expertise is very much appreciated. We would love to have you back again on a future podcast.
All right. Thank you, Meredith.
Legal disclaimer. Life Care Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.